Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I am Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here live in the studio on this frigid last day of January to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online. Full 2 hours, no guests, just you guys. We'll be talking with you about whatever problems you might have with technology. And as you found out in New Britain, hard-hitting New Britain got hit pretty hard.
They did.
A ransomware attack.
They have a ransomware attack. The extent of it is not known yet.
Right.
Which, after, I guess they detected it on Wednesday morning.
Wednesday, yeah.
So after 3 days, they should know stuff about it. Mm-hmm. But I was just talking with Eric off the air.
Right.
They're not, even at this point, they're not going to know the full extent of what happened.
Right.
That takes time to investigate.
And, of course, we'll have to wait for Maine to tell us what happens.
Yeah,
most
how many
likely.
Affected users there are.
Yeah. But ransomware attacks, this is an issue for everybody, any business out there. And one of the best ways to prevent it would be what, Dennis?
Well.
Not your question.
Number one, security awareness training.
There's a good one.
How about another one is two-factor authentication.
Ding, 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 ding. That's one of the biggest ones.
For me, those two things together in tandem are probably the best combined strategy.
For preventable, yeah.
For preventing issues.
Right? How about EDR technology and MDR technology?
That would have helped also.
Yeah, that would have actually, if they had good EDR or MDR technology in place, it would have isolated the attack rather fast.
Yes.
It would have instantly alerted whoever's managing their systems to an attack that's occurring and isolated a minimal amount of systems rather than saying, we don't know how many systems are impacted. Well, that's not good.
No.
The systems that are out there are very inexpensive. I mean, many of our competitors will charge you an arm and a leg and a kidney. But if you go through somebody like us, where our previous owner, and you know him from the radio show, TJ, used to say, pigs go to slaughter.
Yes.
And we never priced our stuff that way. Whereas our competitors, yeah. So again, these technologies can be put in place so that you can prevent these things from happening. Simple SAT, security awareness training. Again, cheap, cheap, cheap. You don't have to pay an arm and a leg for it.
Yep.
Your people get trained on it, what to look for. They can actually mark phishing emails coming in, mark them with the red fish button saying, hey, I think this is a phishing email. And if it's a simulation, they get lauded. Nice job. Hey, you could have if this was a real attack, you could have prevented something from happening.
Right.
That training is important.
Right. And if you have ongoing training, it just keeps happening every single month, year after year. The training company can modify the training to match what's actually happening out in the real world so that they are actually teaching you how to look for the latest kinds of phishes that are going out.
Right. And of course, you can get a list of who your clickers are, right? And now, this is a town, right? So you're going to you'll be having to go to those clickers and, of course, grieve the union or something like that and say, hey, Bob over here keeps clicking and letting these bad guys in here. That's a whole other process I didn't want to deal with if you had to deal with it. But if you've got clickers over there that keep clicking on these bad emails that are possibly going to bring in ransomware like occurred, you know, you need to make sure those folks get extra special remedial attention, as it were.
Yes. And that's the point. I mean, it's not everybody in your company that's going to be clicking on stuff. It's going to be one or two people.
It's typically the people at the top, by the way.
Well, yeah, that's true, too. But the other issue is all it takes is one anyway.
Yes.
So you've got to find those one or two people. And then if you can work with them and develop them and train them and,
right.
you know, give them the extra time they need to figure things out,
mm-hmm.
then you make your entire network a whole lot safer in one, you know, one
fell
shot.
Swoop. And that's the other issue, too, is the bad guys only have to be correct once. Right. So you have to be vigilant constantly. So you've got the security awareness training. Now you know what to look for. You're not going to click on that phishing email that delivers that payload. You're not going to be literally asked to give your password, and you do, which is, again, how the bad guys get in, right? What's your password? That's why I've been joking about it for 30 years. That's all they're doing on some of this social engineering. But you add the second factor, the two-factor authentication, Dennis. Now the bad guys, they might have your password, but they don't have your phone.
They still can't get, right. They don't have your phone or your authenticator app or your token or whatever it is.
Right. So now you've blocked them again. If you've properly configured your firewall, now FortiGate has been all over the news lately.
Oh, yeah.
Because even if you've patched those firewalls, there's still vulnerabilities involved in that. So there's a front door that keeps unlocking.
Right. And it's happening in spite of security measures like MFA.
Right. Secure SSO and all that. Single sign-on is all messed up with the FortiGate. So you can put everything you want in place, and then the bad guys can slip right past because of vulnerabilities. So again, that's why you need those other layers, the EDR technology, the MDR technology, to actually detect this from happening, lock it down before it spreads. And again, these towns, you don't have to pay an arm and a leg and a kidney to whoever your IT provider is. Yeah. I know they charge you because they see you coming, right? Ah, tax dollars. How much can I extract out of those entities?
Yeah.
Tab doesn't do that. Our prices are published when I walk in to talk to a customer. So if I'm talking to an accounting firm, a dental office, a town, I'm not sizing you up.
Right.
I'm actually saying, here's our pricing. And guess what security awareness training costs, Dennis?
Right.
$2.50.
Yeah.
Per seat. That's it.
Yeah.
You don't have to pay $15 a person the way many of our competitors will hit you.
And the same deal with EDR. It's
exactly.
Just a couple dollars.
$3.
Come on.
For $3, we could have prevented
Seriously?
This. Yeah. So this is the kind of stuff that really has to be thought about for whoever you're using for your IT prevention. Clearly, in the state of New Britain here, they have
state
a problem.
State of New Britain?
In their states, the state of New Britain's situation.
Oh.
Yeah, state of Connecticut. But their current state, they clearly did something not up to snuff. And the question we're going to ask is, like, so we've had these calls, like we've had these discussions with, was it Columbus, Ohio, right? Where a ethical hacker went in there trying to figure out if actual data was exfiltrated. He found it, and then the town there sued him and went after him, right, for like going into these dark sites and saying, you know, what are you doing showing that we lied about the fact that we were exfiltrated? So we want honesty. We want openness, obviously, in our government, and I'm not sure. Hopefully we'll get it in this instance. But the big question for you reporters, if you're wondering, is you need to ask the questions. Do you guys have security awareness training in place? Do you guys have two-factor authentication in place? Do you have EDR and MDR
and
in place?
MDR.
Yeah, because if you don't ask any of those questions and you're just like, what happened? They're not going to tell you.
They aren't. No. And to an extent, I mean, it sounds dodgy for them to not answer questions that are general like that.
Right.
But in a security posture, the proper answer is to say nothing.
Well,
You know, but you've got to ask you. That's the whole point. You've got to ask the detailed questions, specifics.
Right. Obviously, you know, I usually use this analogy. You know, if you find yourself at the hood of your car after the accident, clearly you weren't wearing your seatbelt. In this case, this is the scenario. Did they have their seatbelt on cybersecurity wise? And these basic things have to be done by default. And they should be, of course, by towns. I mean, come on.
It's the public franchise that they're protecting.
Right.
So
stuff happens. We understand this.
Sure.
We're not casting any asparagus here. We're not throwing stones. We know this kind of stuff can happen being in the IT world.
Yeah.
But did you have these things in place? If you're a reporter asking basic questions, you know, if you find the guy in the hood of the car, you don't have to ask him if he had a seatbelt on, right? He clearly didn't. You know, you can ask him, were you going too fast? Probably. So it's one of those things that we need to learn more about, and people need to be honest about it. And we'll see what happens in New Britain, hard hit in New Britain. We hope they recover quickly and are back up and running smoothly. And hopefully not too much data was exfiltrated, where the bad guys are going to try to ransom you on the lockdown and then ransom you on the data. They'll pinky swear that they're not going to send it out there. And then in the case of Columbus, the folks involved there lied.
Oh, yeah.
Got embarrassed by an ethical hacker that found out that they did lie, and then they went after that guy.
Right.
For exposing him. That's just gross.
That is horrible.
So, all right. What else you got there, Dennis? Anything?
Well, let's see. We have another example of a hack that took place in Poland.
All right.
As we all know, Russia would like to take over Poland.
Mm-hmm. All the neighbors
they've been trying to do it for the last several hundred years.
Really?
Yeah. Back during the Russian Empire days.
Gotcha.
They actually worked with Austria and Germany to partition Poland a few hundred years ago. And for a while, Poland ceased to exist because of that. At any rate, they are playing that game again. And they are getting into Poland's industrial control systems, or ICS.
Oh, okay.
And causing breakdowns in their utilities.
Oh, boy. Yep.
And it turns out that there were some deficiencies in their security protection.
You don't say.
That the Russians managed to take advantage of.
The
so
SCADA.
We have another situation where something was unnecessarily exposed.
Yeah. And that's common when it comes to, you know, we have all these stories about water systems and electric systems, all these systems that are just
this
not
is an example of that precisely.
So the SCADA system probably was impacted and stuff
exactly.
like that. Exactly. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, one of the articles that I have points out that some systems were actually bricked.
Wow.
They can't fix them.
Yikes.
They just have to physically replace the devices. Yep.
That's not good.
Oh, it is not good.
There have been stories here in America, too, where you find, you know, I think I saw some in passing. I think it might have been 60 Minutes talking to some minor little water system.
Well, I was going to say 60 Minutes had a story, and they did interview somebody at a very small water utility.
Right. It's not that they went after you specifically, I don't think, either. All they need to do is just send a bunch of emails out to all sorts of folks and hope somebody gets fished.
Right.
It wasn't necessarily that they went after the little water system, but maybe they did. I don't know. But understand, these emails go out to everybody.
Right. And if I remember right, that was an example of kind of a latent thing where whoever it was able to just gain entry to their network.
Right.
And then they just didn't do anything after that point. They just opened, they got their foot in the
foothold
door.
And they moved on to the next
thing.
And
then they obviously moved on to other targets. And that might have been because the company was just so small that there was nothing that they were going to be able to get out of it. Mm-hmm. So they just, you know, went on to other things, but they did keep that door open, and that was eventually detected. But it took a while.
Right. That's the other thing. So if you have good EDR technology, penetration testing,
it's going to be found out quicker.
Vulnerability scanning, you want to make sure your software is patched. There's so many things you have to do when it comes to being ready for these things, if you can be. And you'll never be 100%. Never be 100%. You know, if they really want to get at your system, they'll simply put malware on a USB drive and put a little label on it that says payroll, and some ding-dong will go ahead and stick it in their computer in their office, right, and give them access.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just difficult out there to stop all this. But, of course, you'd have to disable USB ports, right? That's a way to stop it, right, Dennis?
We have clients that do that,
actually.
Of course they do.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Tom, we're going to get to you in a minute. Three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything we talk about will be posted live over at computertalkwithtab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. And over on our Facebook page, if you follow us at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network, just ask to be part of it. We'll let you in if you're not a crackpot. And then, of course, you can post and ask questions within there. And we don't collect anything from you or do anything, you know, sell you anything. It's just a group that is basically our fans, and you guys can help each other too. And Dennis is very active in there helping people.
Yeah. Oh, and we do have members that will respond to each other, and that's fantastic. I love that.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, definitely. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back, and Carolyn just let us know about a Panera Bread hack that happened. 14 million folks. Now, the bad guys know what kind of bread you like, but they probably know your credit card information is the problem. But if you use a debit card, you're going to be concerned. If you use a credit card, doesn't matter that much. Actually, there was a story out recently, too, that just talks about the fact that there's so many breaches that Americans are almost like, whatever. I mean, you know.
I had that conversation just this week with one of our clients.
Yeah.
We were talking about stuff like that, and I pointed out, you know, your data is probably out there already somewhere in the dark web.
Right. Well, yeah.
And the problem there is that sometimes, let's call them slightly less than ethical MSPs will come around and then tell you that your company has its data on the dark web.
Right.
And how did that happen and imply
your current provider?
Your current provider was somehow irresponsible.
Right.
But the problem is not with even your systems or with your provider. It's with whoever you're doing business with.
Right.
Because they can have the breach and then your data gets compromised because of somebody else's issue that has nothing to do with you.
Just like Panera Bread, but yeah, that's a big issue in our business. Do you know your data's on the dark web?
Well, yes, it is. Yeah. I'll tell you right now, flat out, my data is out on the dark web.
Right.
You're going to find out a lot about me if you go searching well enough through that stuff, okay?
Yeah. Yes.
It's not because I was irresponsible.
No. It was whoever
I worked with that was irresponsible. Yeah.
But the only thing that would be irresponsible about your stuff out there, Dennis, would be if you use the same password for all your accounts. Right? If that kind of stuff, or you use the same passphrase or the same password approach, then the bad guys can go ahead and reverse engineer maybe where your next login might be.
Right. They can find out how because they know how I log into Facebook, they can find out how I log into Google or whatever. Yeah.
So don't use the same passwords. All right. We digress. We're sorry. Let's go to Tom and Granby, see what he's got going on. Hey, Tom.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
My PC does not like me anymore.
Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club.
I had trouble logging in. It will not boot up. I have two hard drives. One is a clone of the other one, and they both do not let me boot up, although with different symptoms. On the one hard drive, I get a blue screen that says recovery. Your PC device needs to be repaired. At the one point, I got a message saying I was missing a file in System 32, Winload-EFI. Never heard of that extension. All right. With the other hard drive, I ran a check disk on it, and I don't get the error message. But what happens is that when it starts to boot up, I get that circular thing with the dots that spins for literally hours.
Ah. How old is the machine?
Say again?
How old is the computer?
Oh, it's like 6 months. I built it myself.
No.
It's a gigabyte motherboard, and it works fine otherwise. it just doesn't boot up.
Yeah, that's great. That's a positive outlook. Yeah. I can't use it, but it works fine otherwise.
Yeah, it works absolutely fine. But something happened yesterday.
Yeah.
And I wonder, are these recoverable? Or do I have to reinstall Win10 and all that?
I was going to say that there are probably methods you could use going into the Windows recovery environment. And
I
then,
tried that.
All right. If you've already been down that road and you were in the command prompt.
I don't have a password.
You're making this hard for us there, Tom.
Yeah. I don't remember being asked to create a password when I first installed it. So I don't know what happened there.
So it's an admin password you're missing.
Right.
Yeah, this is not
all right. If that's the case, then you have no choice but to just reinstall.
Punt.
Reinstall everything.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Fortunately, I have my files backed up onto a Windows XP machine.
All right.
So
good.
I have everything up to date, so it's not going to be a disaster.
We're just chuckling about the fact that it's XP. That thing is ancient.
Yes.
Well, if all it is a repository data, then it's
I'll
okay.
I'll tell you, Windows XP never gave me an ounce of trouble.
We hear you.
Oh.
It was a good OS. It was a good OS.
It was probably Microsoft's finest achievement to date, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, and I didn't install Windows 11 because I have a laser printer that doesn't have a driver available for Win 11. It only has one for Windows 10.
Yeah.
Windows 10 driver should work.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, okay.
I've been wondering if the printer works fine.
No, well, what he's saying is a Windows 10 driver should work in Windows 11 if you wanted it to reload now and try
The driver architecture is almost identical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but it's not compatible. So I have to reload everything then, right?
Yeah. Without that password, we can't assist you in getting a recovery going because you don't have the access.
You don't have the rights.
I don't have a password. I don't remember being prompted for one.
Yeah.
And,
well, here's what you do. Once you get it going again, you're going to create a local admin account. We'll try to find an article that shows how to do that. But that probably is the first thing you do once you get Windows running on it again.
Yeah.
Right, right.
All right, Tom.
All right. Thank you very much.
You got it, sir. Got to like his attitude. It's working fine, except not booting. I love that. It's a positive attitude. We're going to be here to help you guys out. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Of course, you can also get our podcast via Odyssey app. We'll be right back. Fair about a couple of weird things going on. One of them that I found this morning that I didn't get a fully chance to look at was, you know, we're watching Bitcoin tank. Duh.
Yeah.
I mean, surprise.
Yeah.
Surprise. Surprise. So the thing about that was interesting is Peter, I think his name is Peter Schiff. He's an economist, mm-hmm. is asking MSTR. Well, if you know anything about MicroStrategy, all they do is buy Bitcoin. I mean, their whole plan is to just keep buying Bitcoin. And they have this preferred stock that gives you 11% annual dividend. And Peter Schiff is like, how are you doing that as you're losing your shirt as Bitcoin continues to tank? You're running out of enough greater fools willing to pay more than you paid for this digital asset. I'll use asset in quotes. and you're still paying 11% dividend on your preferred stock. Seems a little fishy to me too. I can even put that story up there for you to read it. But you look at gold. Brian and I were talking about that on Tuesday. I think it was one of the Tuesdays I came in. You know, the moment you start talking about the thing that's peaking, it's already too late. $5,000 an ounce or something like that is where it got to. But then, of course, it tanked just recently too. So it's crazy out there. But at least you can do something with gold. You can cover your teeth with it. You know, you can make a ring out of it. You can do all sorts of great bling with it. Right, Dennis?
Yep. Oh, yeah. You can do everything.
You're going to get that new grill, aren't you? We're going to go to Joe in Berlin next. What's happening, Joe?
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning.
Quick question here.
Yeah, go ahead.
When I open a file with, or I just want to, Windows Explorer, click on it, a PDF file, I used to be able to, you know, view them all, but now some of them I can view, others it says, this is not safe, you know, Windows can't preview it.
So Windows doesn't trust it?
Pardon me?
You made them, you said?
Some I did, some I didn't.
Huh. So Windows is saying it doesn't trust. I mean, sometimes it's a font issue. I've seen weird fonts cause issues, but I can't imagine why it wouldn't be trustworthy. As a PDF especially, they're pretty static.
This was a few months ago at the one there up.
All right.
You're kind of breaking up there, Joe.
Yeah. I'm going to ask if you're all right. Are you, when you look at your PDF files listed in Explorer, okay, are you looking at the preview that Explorer shows you of the document, or are you talking about double-clicking it and viewing it in an application?
No, the preview.
All right.
So there's an issue. I can open it.
Okay.
I can open it in the application, Rob.
Okay.
All right. So there's a specific problem with the previewing method. It would not surprise me if there was like a Windows update that broke that or something like that.
Okay. You've seen that before?
There. It looks like there's some web articles mentioning the problem. It appears to be a thing that was introduced with Windows 11 25H2.
Oh, fun.
But even before that, there were other Windows updates that appear to have broken it.
Yeah, I see that now. Yeah.
What we can do is we can provide an article that tells you how to fix this. At least for that particular issue.
Yeah.
And
Adobe has it specifically, right?
Not Adobe. This is an article that I'm looking at on Microsoft's site.
Oh, okay. Oh, they're taking onus of it.
They are taking ownership of this. Oh, yeah. So what we can do is post that, and you can see what they want. I'm not even sure what they want you to do here, because mm-hmm. It's one of these articles they have with steps, and you have to open each one.
Ugh. How important is this preview to you?
Well,
let's see.
Your computer is working just perfectly otherwise.
Exactly.
Oh, it's all right. Here, I'm going to read this because this might explain everything to you.
Yeah, sure.
Starting with Windows security updates released on and after October 14th, 2025, mm-hmm. File Explorer automatically disables the preview feature for files downloaded from the internet.
Interesting.
Okay.
So that's why some are not able to be done.
Right,
and others
are. That's why he's getting a security warning. Because it's telling him, yeah, I can't show you that.
Because you downloaded it from some other place.
Because he downloaded it from the internet.
Ay, ay, ay.
And well,
so they're actually stating the internet is not trustworthy. Hey, we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, since when was it ever trustworthy?
Exactly. 2025, we figured it out.
If you want, we can also find an article telling you how to maybe get around it. But this article in particular does not explain what to do.
Just tells you why.
It just tells you why you suddenly can't get these previews that you had before.
Right.
All right. And it sounds to me exactly like what you're talking about. Right. So we can post that article. We'll find an article about
maybe
making that work again. Yeah.
Meaning taking away the guardrails that Microsoft is putting in.
Yeah.
They are trying to protect you. Because, again, maybe the city of New Britain downloaded a malicious PDF.
Well, that's
they could
true.
Have. I know it is.
That's a very common payload.
Of course. So, you know, Microsoft's trying to protect you, Joe. So you,
okay.
Your now, computer, you now, can't I, use I, it, but you know. Go ahead.
I've got a Windows 10 and a Windows 11 machine, and they're same issue on both machines.
I would be surprised if they weren't doing the same thing on both systems.
Okay.
I mean, the article that I've got is only about Windows 10, but it would. I can't imagine that they aren't doing the same thing with 10.
With 11, yeah.
With 11, yeah.
With 11, yeah. It's happening on 11 too. So.
Yep. You must have downloaded them, and they must be downloaded files, and the ones you create should be fine versus the ones you download.
So I could download it. I can open it in my application, whatever I'm using.
Yes. But you can't preview it.
You can't preview it. That's a bridge too far.
But then if I resave it, I should be able to...
I agree with that theory. Yeah, I agree with that theory. Once you've brought it up and resaved it, that seems logical, plausible.
Yeah, but okay, let me try that. And then if it doesn't work, I'll call you.
And Mike G just found an article about how you can enable it.
And get around the security.
Okay. There's a checkbox you can take advantage of.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
We'll get it out there for you, Joe. Perfect.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So that's we talked about all the security technology.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
...geez earlier in the show, and this is Microsoft's contribution. We would like you to not utilize our tool to preview a file. You must actually open it versus previewing it. And we think that will save you from some sort of catastrophe.
Right. And for the way I see it, this is like preventing thieves from stealing your jewels by smashing your jewels. In other words, you're just taking away an entire ream of functionality just because it can be exploited.
Right. Which anything
Why not just seal up the exploits in the first place that allow the bad guys to use the preview feature to take advantage of that and then take over your computer?
Exactly.
I mean,
if you know you're previewing, so Microsoft knows you've downloaded the file. Microsoft knows you're previewing it, but Microsoft is not smart enough to stop that action from occurring. You're right, Dennis. That's the step. they should allow the preview, but they shouldn't allow the exploit that would occur after a preview. Because why would a file, a PDF file, do anything?
Right.
But Microsoft software allows it to do stuff, and that's the problem. But if they didn't allow it to do stuff and just let you preview it as a static file, we'd be fine. But they decide to take away that ability. That is counterintuitive, right?
And yeah. Like I said, it's like keeping people from stealing your jewels by destroying them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. All right, let's see what Stefan's got going over there in New Britain. Hey, Stefan, how you doing?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning, sir.
You have to excuse me here for a second.
You got a bit of a cold going.
Bronchitis. It doesn't want to go away. I believe the people that come up with this stuff at Microsoft, because I've been having problems with them, their parents are all siblings. Is what I'm thinking.
Their parents are all siblings. Yeah, it is definitely something going on with what they're thinking over there, Stefan.
You got to work really hard to be that stupid.
Mm-hmm. Well, they make $20 billion selling cybersecurity to protect you
from
them.
Their own stuff.
So they're doing something right. But what's up?
Yeah, okay. Oh, okay. Anyway, two things on that since with the addition on from Zadig, the company Behringer says do not use a dongle when downloading the new software.
Mm.
So I looked it up on a page. I used the dongle and it worked.
Well, you're the lucky one.
Yeah,
they must have experienced issues with other folks.
Yeah.
Okay. It was on one of the Behringer, not official pages on the web, but it did work.
Good.
Secondly, status of the Dell Latitude E6410, I ordered a power adapter supply from Amazon.
All right.
55, let me see what it was, because I just got up. I didn't want to miss. It's 90 watt, 65 watt, 19.5 volt AC adapter.
Yep.
Okay. When I plugged it in, the computer said it did not recognize the charger.
Yeah, it may not.
Okay.
It may not have the hardware controller on board on the adapter that the computer is looking for. It's looking for a response that it's not getting from
it may not be the actual correct adapter that was.
Right, but it should still supply the right amount of power. It's just not going to have any smart interchange of information between the two to titrate the voltage and the amperage when it's needed.
But yes, he did say titrate.
Okay. Titrate.
I'm going to have to look that up at the break.
I'll look for that word.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. But that's the key. So are you getting power? Is it charging your battery at least?
No, and there was a following message.
Okay.
It said this may not charge the battery.
Oh, then you got to send it back.
It may be that the laptop has decided because it does not recognize this that it's not going to take anything from it.
Yeah.
It may be gatekeeping you.
Self-preservation.
Yep.
Here's the good news. Mm-hmm. Okay. It may have had charge left in the battery when I initially plugged in this Amazon charger. Mm-hmm. It ran the memory test. It took like half an hour, right?
Right. Well,
it worked.
Well,
the memory's all good.
Oh, good.
Here's what it may have done. If I'm assuming you still had the charger plugged in while you were running the memory test.
You betcha.
All right. Then it was accepting the power direct to the motherboard from the adapter. It just was not accepting it to charge the battery, which are two different things. And that's part of the power management in the computer. Yeah. It knows that those are two different things, and it balances them.
But it's still not the correct part, so you should swap it out.
Right. So Walmart says that they have OEM chargers for this, so that'd probably be a better idea.
Try it out.
Yeah. In this case, an OEM charger would always be a better choice.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing, too. When this thing runs, the fan is blowing out some considerably warm air. Is this normal for that period of computer?
Well, laptops do run hot. And again, it depends on how much dust is in there, too. They will try to self-preserve and keep themselves cool. And some of these laptops did run pretty warm in the past. You had to get little special coolers in some cases and bases for them.
Depending on the age of it, there may be a little bit of ambient buildup of dust. Yeah. I mean, even a thin layer of dust on the wrong motherboard component can cause heat to spike.
Right, and it'll try to save itself.
Yeah, let's not forget that this thing came from a dumpster. Mm. But I did find out the person that did own this worked for an AI company in India.
Oh, neat.
Oh, in India?
Okay, so I don't know why it was discarded. Maybe it was just, this is too old. Well, and you're not going to bring it on a plane going back to India if that's where you're going.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, see if you get the charger, all the right. correct charger for it, and you're good to go, Stefan. I hope you feel better.
Also, how do I know if the battery in this thing is still good?
There should be, depending on the manufacturer, there should be a utility on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Dell. Well, in the case of my HP, there's something called Support Assistant.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, there is a battery checker module, for lack of a better word. And I could check the battery status here, and it will tell me that my battery is very old and it's not any good anymore. And it's true. It is an old battery, but I like the computer otherwise, so I'm going to keep working with it.
Because it's not even booting up. It just did the memory check and everything like that. But when the screen comes on the screen comes on and it says like repair in progress and then it just freezes.
Mm. You have a hard drive issue then possibly too.
You might have a hard drive problem. You may also have a power management problem where Windows is detecting that I have no battery power. Mm. I'm going to shut off.
Okay.
At some point during that boot process or the recovery process when it's trying to repair the boot process.
Mm-hmm.
It is saying, I can't continue with this, and it may be shutting itself off. Again, that's self-preservation algorithms in the computer.
So I'm going to try the Walmart charger and see if that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. Assuming the Walmart charger works and it charges the battery fully, then I'm just thinking out loud that this computer should work fine.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're defeating all of these self-preservation algorithm.
And I'm gonna predict that any laptop found in a dumpster is not gonna work. But you go, go do your thing, Stefan.
But for $15, I'll find out the answer to that question.
You got it, sir.
$16 for an OEM adapter?
That's not bad.
That's not bad at all. Holy mackerel.
I could be wrong because I'm old. It could be 20 or something like that. But $20 to find out if this thing works is worth it.
All right, I want to know, Stefan. You got to be honest with us. Let us know what happens.
I really want to know. You better call and tell me. Thank you, Stefan.
All right, Stefan.
Thank you.
All right. Take it easy, Ben. Feel better.
Yep.
All right. There's our famous Stefan. We're going to step out for a quick break. Four lines open for you guys. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. All right, we are back here until 11 o'clock. We are live on this frigid last day of January 2026 to help you out with your computer comments, questions, and concerns. I know Joey just like, Eric, now I can't use this show as a best of. Yes, you can. Go ahead. Nobody can. It's fine. But we're here to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So we'll wait for your calls. Anything you want to bring up there, Dennis?
I wanted to bring up something that's going on at Costco, of all places.
They know how to make some money over there, though.
At Costco, as we all know, they do sell computers, and they have samples out on the showroom floor, at least for some of them. Probably not all the models that they do sell, but there are some out there for looks to tell you, hey, we got computers here.
Yeah, okay? Of course, yeah.
What they've been doing lately is taking the RAM chips and the graphic adapters out of them.
Amazing.
Because apparently people have been helping themselves to what's in the store.
Who goes to a Costco with a screwdriver?
Well, in fairness, yeah. a lot of these computers now have, you know, just latch releases where you can snap them open without a tool.
Jeez.
And as long as you can, you know, if you know what you're doing, you can reach in and just take those chips right out.
So instead of just having a picture of the item,
right,
which would be just as valid of having a picture of the computer or laptop,
they have an actual
unit,
desktop, a laptop or whatever,
off,
and it's off,
yeah,
and it won't work because it's got no memory in it. Yeah. But they take the memory out
and the graphics card
if there is one.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah, a lot of the computers have integrated graphics, especially the ones that Costco sells, but. If there are any additional adapters, they just take those out now, apparently.
I just can't imagine people are doing that, sticking that stuff in their pocket and walking out.
With all
the people checking your receipts as it is, they practically tackle you before you leave. Yes, I did buy this.
Right. And that's what I was thinking. It's a more secure store than most stores that you go into. Because number one, you have to have a membership to get in.
Right.
And you got to flash that card just to get in the door.
This has to be a big enough problem, though, for them to actually go to that level. Because tearing apart a computer, a perfectly good computer that's brand new, typically is not something you want to do because you risk zapping something, really.
Well, here's what I was thinking. When are the manufacturers maybe going to just ship empty cabinets? I mean, seriously.
Here's our case. And we'll send you the components later.
They could sell Costco, you know, computers without any guts. All it is the cabinet or you know, just the base laptop with no electronics in it.
Yeah. Although the prices have gone through the roof.
Right. And I'm thinking that would represent a savings, especially for a company like Costco that's all over the world.
So you're going to have just the box, the guts, and no, not the guts. You're missing the guts.
Right.
And then you would have to go ahead and order the guts separately.
Well.
And pop the guts in yourself or get some IT geek in your neighborhood.
No, I mean, they just purposely build, you know, use fake computers.
I see.
Just to populate the retail force.
Oh, I gotcha. I see you now. A mannequin of a computer.
Right. And then, of course, you know, they could put one of those together for $10 as opposed to $1,000.
All right,
fair enough. There's a real big dollar savings there. So
yeah, just managing all those components you pulled out of those computers that are sitting, it's got to be stuck in some pile in the back.
Yeah,
room somewhere.
Are they actually retaining that stuff or are they just shipping it out?
Who knows? But you can buy a gold bar there. let's go to Mary in Glastonbury. Not that I've done it, so don't come to my house. Hey, Mary, what's up?
Good morning. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm embarrassed to say I have a old desktop computer. It's an HP.
Okay.
And I purchased it in 2011, so it's Windows 7.
Ooh, that is old.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm in the market for a new desktop, and I wanted your opinion on what specs I should look for.
Well, I'm going to tell you... I'll give you the specs, but you should probably wait because right now it's insane as far as the cost. So basically, you're going to look at an i5 level processor or i7 processor. These are going to be the Ultras that are out there these days. It's the latest generation.
Ultra.
Yeah, i5 or i7 Ultras. Yeah. Looking for maybe, if you can afford it, 16 gigs of RAM or more. But 16 is a good base. And then a terabyte. Which is 1,000 gigs of solid state drive. That's your bare minimum.
1,000 gigs of solid state. Okay. Yeah.
And that'll be a Windows 11 machine.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what your price is going to be because they're going through the roof right now. So you may want to wait until like the summertime where I hope we're going to see manufacturers stop chucking money in these data centers. Although Texas is building enough electric capacity to actually, I mean, it's insane what I read about the data center power they just are building down there, but it's a chicken and egg thing. So we'll see what happens with all this RAM that people are purchasing for data centers. But hopefully these manufacturers get back in that business for consumer and business lines. Cause right now it's just ridiculously expensive. So does the machine work for you still, Mary?
Yes, it does. Believe it or not. And that's why I haven't switch things over. And one of the things I was concerned about was who would be able to help me, let's say, transfer my photos and other files that I may want to save.
Well, we can put some links as to what you should do there, but simple copy and paste. Do you have a backup at all of your system? It's very old. I hope you do.
Yeah, probably, but I don't think I've ever set it up.
Okay, so then the first thing you're going to do is go out and buy a hard drive.
Buy an external hard drive and back up all your data to it.
So just doing a copy and a paste. Make a directory on that little drive. It says Mary's backup. Go to the computer, the files that are important to you, and copy it over to that drive. That's your step one. Because that thing is very old, and now it heard you talking about it, it's going to fail on you.
Yeah, I know. Exactly.
So I hope that helps there, Mary. We're hitting a hard break here.
Okay, great.
All right, we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.